What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. It is so comforting to me just to do things God's way. I didn't even do my intro, I think. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. We're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about doing things God's way. It's one of my favorite topics. Now, before we get into the meat of our podcast, we are sponsored. And I would tell you that often people need a listening ear and some support as they work through the varied situations of life. Sometimes those situations are so complex and overwhelming that they need some moral support. I need moral support and extra support. This is why LaBeth started BeAMindfulSoul.com. At Be A Mindful Soul, LaBeth's mission is to offer anything from a listening ear and the advice of an older sister to helping you find a professional in your area if that's what's needed. Be sure to go to www.BeAMindfulSoul.com and check out all of the services that LaBeth has to offer. She can help answer your questions about therapy treatment or other mental health services that you might need. She also provides affordable assistance and support with resolving relationship conflicts, gaining and implementing a more effective parenting style. And she can help coach you through the steps you need to take in regards to finding the peace and tranquility that you deserve. Folks, be sure to go to www.BeAMindfulSoul.com and avail yourselves of all the services that LaBeth has to offer. She does offer a free consult. She offers a free consult. Now, I am going into my Substack because we are going to look at, well, hold on a second. We're going to look at the article that I wrote for today. This is called The Guiding Light of God's Word, and I was perusing some of my old files. And I found where I, in a Word document, I just had some stream of consciousness writings, and I organized them into an article. I thought, well, since I've got Substack, which I've linked the link to the article in the comment section, if you go there, you can subscribe to my Substack. It's free. I will monetize it at some point, but there will always be free content on it. Okay. That being said, I'm just going to read the article, and then I'm going to offer some commentary about it. Good afternoon, Diana Harden. It's good to see you. And John Exum and Barry O'Dell, I don't know if I said hi to y'all, but I am doing it now, so hello. All right. Lay Williams. Hello, Brother Brewer. Have a blessed day. Hello, all my brothers and sisters. Y'all have a blessed day. I'm currently having a very blessed day, Lay Williams, and I'm thankful for it, and thank you for the blessing. The Guiding Light of God's Word, Navigating Life's Choices. Thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan says he enjoyed the Why Did You Leave article. Yeah, that was the title, John. I appreciate it. And incidentally, since I've discovered Substack, I think I've produced an article a day with the exception of Sunday. So I'm wanting to get an archive up there. And everything that's being put out now will never be behind a paywall. I will monetize it eventually, but anything, in other words, I'm not going to in retrospect put things behind a paywall. All right, let's read the article for today. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. Hello, Sheila Co. Now, what is the gist of this? Well, the point of the podcast today is to teach us to reinforce the idea. Humans are fickle. God has all the answers. And the only way we can get answers from God is to go to his word. That's as simple as it gets. In the complex journey of life, we often find ourselves facing decisions that shape our path. However, scripture reminds us that our own understanding is limited, and our steps must be guided by a higher authority. Let's explore a powerful lesson from the life of David and delve into the invaluable guidance that the Word of God offers. seeking direction. David's desire to build a house for God, and I will put forth, it was really good. It was good that was in his heart. He went to the prophet of God. He did what he was supposed to do. He actually went to God for guidance through God's prophet. But it was God's prophet that let him down. Listen, a poignant example of human intentions colliding with divine will can be found in David's desire to build a house for God. When King David shared his idea with the prophet Nathan, the initial response seemed positive. Nathan encouraged David to proceed with his heart's desire, proclaiming that the Lord was with him. And why wouldn't he be? David's intentions were pure and altruistic. David come to the conclusion, why do I live in a sealed house and my God dwells in a tent? I'm going to build God a house. Nathan, I'm going to build God a house. Nathan says, well, I don't see any problem with that. So Nathan encouraged David to proceed with his heart's desire, proclaiming that the Lord was with him. However, Nathan's response lacked divine authorization. In an interesting twist, God intervened by speaking directly to Nathan. God's message to David through Nathan was revealed that the Lord had different plans. It's as if God asked, go ask David what he's thinking. In 2 Samuel 7, 4 and 5, 4 through 5, God proved David by asking if he had ever been instructed by God to build a house for him. Well, the answer was no. Therefore, David was going beyond, and Nathan should have said, David, you don't need to build a house for God because God hadn't asked for it. Now, man's ways versus God's ways. This is a lesson in humility. What's up, Debbie Mangus? Good to see you. Sheila, I don't know if I said hi when you came in or not. Hello to you. So man's ways versus God's ways, a lesson in humility. You know, David's experience underscores the truth that man's ways may seem right, but ultimately it is the Lord's direction that prevails. As Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 warns, there is a way that appears right unto us, but its end leads to destruction. David's good intentions were not sufficient. It was God's plan that mattered. Now, let's talk about finding divine guidance, embracing Scripture. So, David went to the man of God. The man of God did not consult God. So, they did not have any authority from the oracle of God that would be analogous to you and I trying to do something, and we do not have any authority from the oracle of God, which I could hold up my New Testament and I could hold up my Bible here. So we need to go to the Word of God. We need to find divine guidance and embrace Scripture. So where do we turn for unerring guidance? Well, the answer lies in Scripture, the inspired Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The term perfect here is important. In this context, it signifies a comprehensive outfitting or equipping, not sinlessness. Scripture equips us comprehensively, providing the tools we need for a life rooted in godliness and wisdom. So studying God's Word is the path to knowledge. How can we access the wisdom contained in Scripture? The path to understanding is through diligent study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. The American Standard 1901 says, give diligence. Now, the diligence that we are to give is to the Scriptures, and it is to rightly understand God's word And the diligence to rightly understand God's word allows us to discern his will from our own desires. Christians don't believe in the whole Bible. The Old Testament says, stone your disobedient children. Nobody follows its guidance. It is because the Old Testament is fulfilled in Christ, and we are no longer under that law. If you'll read the book of Hebrews, you can read 7 and 8. There are two passages of scriptures in there that talk specifically about once the priesthood or once the law changed, of necessity is the change of a priesthood. And Jesus is a prophet, priest, and king after the order of Melchizedek. If he were a priest on earth, then, well, he wouldn't be able to be a priest on earth. Hebrews chapter 8 especially talks about, you know, the crux of the matter is this, and talks about Jesus. And the Hebrews writer claims that Jesus, like, we have to be under a different law. We have to be under a different priesthood, because since Jesus is our high priest, and he's not after the order of Aaron or Moses, he is from the tribe of Judah, a tribe concerning the priesthood on earth about which Moses spake nothing. So I don't go back to the Old Testament. If I were living under the law of Moses, I would be amenable to those laws under the Old Testament. Now you might ask, well, what good is the Old Testament then? Well, I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Paul writes, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So no, when I go back to read the Pentateuch, Torah means instruction, but those are not my instructions. I don't carry an animal to sacrifice to the temple. I don't remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. I don't observe the Passover. I don't go to Jerusalem 3 times a year for the particular feast, because those rules, those instructions, do not apply to me. They apply to people living under the law of Moses, under the Mosaic covenant. We are under a new covenant. So we got to be very particular about that. Now, does that mean, and I know I'm getting repetitive here, but it's important to stress, does that mean we throw the Old Testament out the window? I mean, if you'll notice, I'm mighty proud of my little Bible here. All it has is a New Testament with the book of Psalms in it. Well, does that mean this is the only thing we need? God forbid. We need the whole Bible. We need this. This is the whole Bible. This is from Genesis to Revelation. And as I study, I'm going to go back to the old covenant, and I want to learn about the nature of God. And I'm going to take what Paul wrote to the church in Rome. Listen to what he said. This is why we don't throw away the Old Testament. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So yes, there are laws in the Old Testament that we do not follow anymore, but we can study those laws in the Old Testament, and we can ascertain and learn about God's nature, and it can inform and help us interpret certain things in the New Testament. One of those things is modesty and shamefacedness. Very interesting study, and a study of God's nature that we learn about him in the Old Testament informs, I believe, how we interpret the law of Christ in the New Testament. So Christianity has abrogated Judaism. How is this different than Islam saying they have abrogated the New Testament? Because Islam is a false religion, and they're based on a false prophet, and their holy book doesn't stand up to scrutiny. There's contradictions all in it, and there's no contradictions whatsoever in the Bible. Future religions abrogate old religions all the time. Can't God fix this mess? Yes, God has fixed this mess in that he once and for all delivered the faith to the saints, and he fixed this mess by giving us the Bible. So God is not responsible for what man does with the Bible. He fixed it. He said, here it is. And that's why the point of the podcast, we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Muslims are not approved of God. Jews who practice the old covenant are not approved of God. Buddhists are not approved of God. All of them are going to spend eternity in a fiery, in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, metaphorically or literally, depending on how you interpret that. Either one is bad. I don't want to spend an eternity away from God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by him. The book of Islam, the religion of Islam, the Muslim, the Quran claims to be infallible, yet it says the Bible is not true. But then the Quran says, the Quran says the Bible is scripture, but the Bible is also flawed, and scripture cannot be flawed. Well, there you have a logical absurdity. You have a bona fide contradiction. If the unerring scripture says that the Bible is scripture, then the unerring scripture that says that scripture cannot be flawed cannot then say scripture is flawed. That is a logical absurdity. I think that's pretty good for doing that off the top of my head. That's usually something I would write down and make sure I had straight in my brain before I tried to talk about it. But the fact that I was able to do it off the top of my head ought to let you know the validity of it. Yeah, so again, when you ask the question, so Christianity has abrogated Judaism, it lets me know that you don't know the nature of Christianity nor Judaism, either one. Christianity is a fulfillment of Judaism. So just because we're under a new covenant, that doesn't mean we totally get rid of the Old Testament, but those laws are no longer authoritative to us. But the religion of Islam, that's just an absolute bunch of lies that was promulgated by a dirty pervert that liked having sex with children. So yeah, that's, and I quite frankly don't care if that offends anybody. Muhammad was a pervert and a false prophet, and I don't respect him at all, and I don't respect the religion, and it shouldn't be respected. It's a terrible religion. All right. So, let me figure out where I was in the Bible. Yeah, or in the article. The path to knowledge, studying God's word. So, how can we access wisdom contained in Scripture? Well, the path to understanding is through diligent study. I think I've already read this, but the American Standard 1901 reads, "Give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." 2 Timothy 2:15, the diligence to rightly divide or rightly understand God's word allows us to discern his will from our own desires. Now let's talk about freedom through knowledge. All right. Discovering truth, freedom through knowledge. As we immerse ourselves in the word, a profound transformation occurs. Through Jesus' teaching, we learn that true discipleship involves not only believing, but also continuing in his word. I didn't put this in the article, but know ye not, O vain man, how that faith without works is dead, being alone. You cannot be saved unless you work. That does not mean you earn your salvation. But to say that I'm saved by faith and then I work, you are saying that something dead, faith, absent works, is able to produce life. It takes faith and works, all right? Period, bar none. So we immerse ourselves in the word, a profound transformation occurs. Through Jesus' teaching, we learn true discipleship involves not only believing, but also continuing in his word. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, John 8:31-32. This truth liberates us from the traps of misguided choices and sets us on God's divine path. You know, there's a lot of misguided choices that people make. I watch these podcasts where these women from the club are rounded up and they're asked questions about dating and men and stuff like that, and they just are so delusional. They're making terrible life choices. You have these women saying, well, I can wait until my 30s to settle down and get married and have children. Like, no, you can't, because by the time you hit 30, you're so spent and you've had so much sex. Nobody's going to want to mess with you. And if you screw around and have a child out of wedlock, then you're a single mother and nobody's going to want to mess with you then either. And these people have made terrible life choices because instead of looking at God's word that says, be chaste, get married, start a family, be chaste, be faithful to your husband, and husbands be faithful to your own wives. They think that they can, at 18 years old, they can go out for a decade and quote unquote sow their wild oats and then settle down and have a normal family, whenever statistics have proven that, well, not statistics only, but science, biological science, the science of biology has proven that when a woman has two sexual partners, her ability to pair bond goes down like 60%. She'll never get it back. So it's, if we would have just gone to the Bible to get our guidelines for how we act in this world, we wouldn't be making these terrible decisions. So in our pursuit of guidance, this is completeness through divine wisdom. In our pursuit of guidance and wisdom, we find assurance in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that reads thusly, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. This promise underscores that divine wisdom, which comes from diligence to the scripture, equips us with everything necessary for a life of purpose and godliness. So if you're a young man or a young woman and you're wanting to figure out how to live a life of purpose and experience deep and abiding joy, don't go to secular wisdom, go to the Bible. And you will find that you will be not conformed to the world, but you will be transformed by God through his word. So the conclusion of the matter, let's anchor in the word. In a world where the allure of human understanding can lead astray, let us anchor ourselves in the unwavering light of God's word. David's experience teaches us that our intentions, however noble, must be measured against God's purpose. Scripture illuminates our path, folks, offering wisdom, guidance, and a beacon of truth that ensures our steps align with his perfect will. As we delve into its pages with humble hearts, we discover the transformative power of divine wisdom shaping our choices and lives. We absolutely have to go to Scripture. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. We need to lean not on our own understanding. We need to go to God's word. And I think of, again, just there's no better example in my mind than David with Nathan whenever David wanted to build the temple. David does everything he's supposed to do. He goes to the man of God. He goes to the oracle. He goes to the analog of the Bible. And he says, okay, Nathan, I want to build a temple for the Lord. I want to build an actual house. And Nathan's like, you go for it, buddy. Sounds good to me. Well, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God said, you're not building me a house. You've got bloody hands. When have I ever asked for a house? Of all the times that I've led the children of Israel out of Egypt, that I've been with you, that I've done all of these great things, when have you ever heard me ask for a house? David, I've got news for you. You are not responsible for building me a house. I am going to build you a house. Go read that in 2 Samuel. It is amazing. 2 Samuel chapter 7. just the way God talks to him. It's, and incidentally, Proverbs 14:12 warns that there is a path that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Go to Proverbs 16 and read that chapter and see if you don't find the same verse. Now, God's inspired word, if it says something once, it's important. What about if it says the same thing two times? Folks, I think we need to pay attention. So I hope that I have said something in today's podcast that has enlightened you and encouraged you, and I hope it has whet your appetite for further study. I hope that you go to my Substack, and I hope you subscribe, because I love cranking out these articles, and it's a really good platform, and I would love to have a few hundred subscribers over there. Like I said, I'm going to keep it for free. I'm eventually going to monetize it, but there will always be free content on it. So that's all I've got here. Now, you can support me monetarily by going to Buy Me a Coffee or Patreon. So you can go to www.patreon.com/Christianity Now or www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now. Thank you so much, Dana Harden. Thank you so much, Debbie. Great feedback and great encouragement. Listen, I'm going to sign off. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. I hope you'll subscribe to the Cogitations podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and Podbean. And be sure and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you so much for all of you that tuned in. And we'll catch you on the flip side.